found of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise simple.
Welcome to The Simple Truth. You did not tune in by accident. This show is dedicated to all believers in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like there's something missing from your walk with the Lord? Are you tired of being deceived? Then you've come to the right place. Grab your Bible and let us introduce you to the real Jesus. Our mission is to help you unravel the Scriptures and gain a greater understanding of God's Word, showing you how the Old and the New Testaments mesh together so perfectly. All of life's questions are answered in God's Word. So throw out any preconceived notions and any traditions of man, and join us as we search for God's truth. This is what you've been looking for.
Well, greetings, friends. We've got Mark and Ted back again today, and we've got a great show. We're continuing on with the series, What Must We Do to Inherit Eternal Life?
And we already showed that you need to receive the Holy Spirit to inherit eternal life, and you do that by repenting, being baptized, and obeying God, and obeying His commandments. And another scripture that reinforces that we are to keep His commandments is Revelation 22, starting at verse 14.
Yeah, like, you know, most people say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, Ted, this is about as far into the New Testament as you can get.
Yeah, that's right.
22nd chapter of Revelation. You know, you're going to turn to Revelation 23. What does it say at the end of the book?
It says, blessed are those who do His commandments. Let me read that again. Blessed are those who do His commandments.
Well, then that means that cursed are those who do not.
That's right. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. So, see, which group do you want to be with? The group that inherits eternal life and who keep His commandments, or...
the murderers and idolaters.
It's a no-brainer.
I'll tell you, let's take a look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Let me read that. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?
Well, you know, this is, we're talking about the Great Commission, and to fulfill it, of having the gospel preached to all the nations, you know, we need to send preachers out to the world. Well, of course, here at the Seventh-day Church of God, we try to do our part by doing this show, and we also have a publication called the Jerusalem Sentinel that we send out all over the world. Anyone who helps in these endeavors is, you know, doing a small part in helping to do the Great Commission, to do God's work. What are other signs that people have who will be saved? Let's take a look at Acts 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. So, you know, if we love God and have righteous works, it's a good sign that we have been converted.
And after we accept Christ, we're expected to keep learning more about Him. In other words, it's an ever-growing process. Acts 15, verse 19 says, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath.
Well, Mark, where did that verse come from? Usually you never hear that verse read because, you know, people read the rest of that and say, well, you know, that's all we're required to do.
Right. They don't read verse 21. Well, Ted, you see, this is talking about the minimum standards for fellowship. You know, the debate was, do people have to be circumcised and converted to Judaism to be saved and to join the church?
Right.
And James is the one that gave the answer, and he said, no. There's a few things that they have to do. Abstain from things polluted by idols, abstain from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. And then he goes on to say, because Moses has been preached in every city in the synagogues, in other words, they're going to come, they're going to hear Moses, they're going to learn, they're going to grow. Now, today, the exact opposite of that has been interpreted by the churches. Oh, that's all you have to do, and forget Moses. Basically, that's what they say. It's all done away with. That's all nailed to the cross. Well, here is the New Testament church, and they're saying you're going to come and hear Moses every week being preached in the synagogues.
And, you know, another thing is that this big, as Mark said, this big brouhaha was over circumcision mostly. Now, the Sabbath, that is a much bigger issue.
Right. Well, the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. Circumcision is not.
So, you know, if a lot of people believe that during this time the Saturday Sabbath was changed to Sunday, well, they would have had a huge, huge brouhaha over that. And they didn't. You know, here was one over a relatively minor issue of circumcision. If the Sabbath had ever come up, it would have been cataclysmic.
Well, first of all, Ted, we can prove from the Bible that the Sabbath was observed. I mean, you don't have to go any farther than the book of Acts to see that. But and we've done shows on this, Sunday, or the first day of the week, is only mentioned 8 times, and none of them are in the concept of a weekly service where weekly believers are coming together and worshiping. Not one place. But hundreds of places in the New Testament, we see the Sabbath mentioned, talked about, and being observed by the apostles, by Paul, the man that they say they give credit for authoring the books that supposedly does away with it. Well, Paul stood up and said he was blameless in the law. Let me tell you something, folks. Violating the Sabbath was grounds for being stoned and put to death. If you're breaking the Sabbath, you can't stand up and be blameless in the law. Let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So, you know, the early Christians were expected to go to the synagogue every Sabbath and learn from the Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't been written yet, about, like we just said, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. So, you know, clearly we are expected to do things to attain the promise of that salvation. But are there any big don'ts? Are there any things that says we shouldn't do?
Let me read 1 Peter 4:17. It says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, then what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
So if you're not obeying the gospel of God, if you're not obeying the Ten Commandments and the laws, you're not going to be saved. It's just that simple. I'm sorry.
He's not going to give you His Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved.
Let's read from 1 John 3:15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So, you know, murder is breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Breaking the fourth commandment is also a violation. If you break any one of them, you're breaking all of them.
That's right, and the punishment is the same for breaking any of the ten. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals." So much for that. Meat market in Knoxville, Metropolitan Community Church. Nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. None of these people will be in God's kingdom. So if you are a drunkard, or a homosexual, or a sodomite, or a fornicator, or an idolater, or a thief, you have to stop. You have to repent of your sins and stop, or you will not be in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, further proof in Galatians 5, starting at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you're keeping the Ten Commandments, you won't have any problem of not doing any of these bad things that I just read.
That's right. So, Ted, what about that great or supposed great evangelist that got up and said that there were many paths to God, many ways to get there? What does all this do with that theology? You know, after all, we are living in the time of the big ecumenical kiss-up.
Well, I'm sorry, but there's only one path to God, and it's very clear. Let's read from Acts 4, starting at verse 10. Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Well, Mark, there's 1 billion Roman Catholics, and they have a little problem working this out, this verse out, and especially this next one, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Is that in the Catholic Bible? I bet it is.
Yeah, they just don't read it too much. Do we have any other instructions that we need to follow that our salvation would be assured?
Let's read Matthew 10:22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And then Matthew 24:13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Well, Ted, we need to keep obeying God and keep loving him no matter what happens, no matter what the cost, no matter what people say or do about us or to us. Even if we find ourselves enduring the great tribulation, which some people will, we are supposed to live soberly and righteously and live like we are preparing to enter the kingdom of God, because guess what? That's what we're doing. That is your purpose in life, to develop a relationship with God, to have a personal relationship, to repent of your sins, and to enter into the kingdom of God. That's why you're here. That's the most important thing you can accomplish while you're here. And for anybody that's out there, I know you're searching. Come on down to 7221 Central Avenue Pike. We'll show you how to be there. The Seventh-day Church of God, the sponsor of the Simple Truth Show, meets every Sabbath, that's Saturday, at 2:30 in the afternoon. We are not like any church service you have ever attended. Is something missing in your relationship with God? Has God put a burning desire in your heart for you to draw near to Him? Do you need help in learning how to do that? We are located at 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. That's 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee, in the Central Point Business Park. This is just south of Callahan Road on Central Avenue Pike.
exit I-75 at the Callahan Road exit. That's one exit just north of Merchants Drive. The church